Welcome to tonight's episode of the Moana Nui podcast. My name is Moana, and I'm the founder of the show, and I'm joined tonight by Dana, my co-host. Welcome, Dana. How are you?
Aloha, everyone. Thank you so much for joining, especially for those that is your first time tuning in to the Moana Nui podcast. We're so excited for you to be part of this show.
Tonight's episode is special. I think this is a topic that is of interest to a lot of people. I know me for myself, I'm looking forward to learning more tips on mo'oku auhau, our Hawaiian genealogy, and how do we navigate our family trees? How do we find them? Records can be conflicting at times. There's many types of resources online, but that can be confusing too, because there's so many. But tonight we're joined by four wonderful guests who have all come together. They run an awesome Facebook group on the Genealogy Society. And I asked them to come and join us and share some of their knowledge, as many of them have been working on their family tree for a really long time. And they get questions all the time. How do I start? Where do I start? I feel intimidated. I just need some help. And so we thought this would be a great topic to bring to the podcast to help everybody navigate this issue. Jeff Renaud is going to be our moderator and host tonight. He lives in Vegas, but he has roots in Hawaii as well, of course. And he is his family historian and loves to do genealogy. It's actually how we met and started our friendship. So we definitely want to welcome Jeff back to the show. He's been with us before, but it's good to see him again. Welcome.
Aloha. Jeff. Aloha, everybody.
Good to see you. Our second guest is Kalani Mandoi. He's been on the show before. Kalani and his ohana have roots in Molokai, and he currently lives on the West Coast in California. He started his journey trying to seek out his mother's side of the family. And he'll have an interesting story, which I won't spoiler alert that, because I'm sure he's going to talk about it tonight. But Kalani, he's a DNA enthusiast. So there's so much to learn from him because he's always sharing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're giving me so much. So I'm looking forward to him bringing his mana'o and his ike to the show. So welcome, Kalani.
Aloha, kako. Thank you again.
Yeah. And our third guest is Mapuana Yuen of Ewa O'ahu. She is a cherished figure in her community. She is a mom, a grandmother, a caregiver. She is a volunteer for the Ka'ohana o Kalaupapa. And she's also involved in the Lahaina Restoration Foundation and the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society Facebook group that I mentioned earlier. She's new to our show, and we're really excited to get to know her tonight. Welcome, Mapuana.
Aloha.
Aloha. And last but not least is Ki'ilei. She was born and raised on the island of O'ahu. She comes from Pacific Palisades. Waipa, wahiwa. She was immersed in Hawaiian culture, and she's been dancing hula since the age of 3. Her family history and genealogy is one of her passions that she loves doing on a daily basis. She graduated from UH West O'ahu with her bachelor's in Pacific Island Studies and an emphasis in Hawaiian culture. She's currently working on her master's and eventually her PhD. She's married and she has keiki and mo'opuna who reside in Wahiwa. Welcome, Ki'ilei, to the show.
Hui, aloha kakou.
Aloha. All righty. So, Jeff, we're going to hand this over to you guys.
All right. Thank you. aloha, everybody. Welcome. We want to thank Moana Nui, Papa Ololokahi. Tonight's topic is mo'oku auhau, or as we call in Hawaii, your family genealogy. And we're going to start off with our first question. We're just going to dive right into it. What is mo'oku auhau? And if you guys want to start, we start with Ki'ilei and we can move down to Mapuana and Kalani.
What is your mo'oku auhau? It's your lineage, your ancestors, your descendants that's going to come. And so it's just a whole bunch of people, some of them we don't know, or we do know, and that's just a living testimony of why we're here. Okay. Mapuana, your turn.
All right, yo, ma'olelo.
stories that we carry that went down through generations and who we relate to and how we relate to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add, Kalani?
Pretty much is what they said, lineage and history, because especially for Hawaiian culture, it's an oral culture. So all of this actually started from it's our oral history, a story of our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So the very first question is, I'm sure everybody that's here tuning in is probably brand new. Our very first question would be, where do I start with my genealogy research?
Talk to your ancestors, talk to your elders, their information, gather names as much as you can, information. If you think you've never heard of that person before, everything is a clue. Every story has a clue. And you use those clues to look for your aunt.
I think also start small first. Just do your immediate family, which is like you, your siblings, your parents. And then you can branch off to your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and so forth. And Mapuana was saying, some families don't share as much. And so just write the name down, and then you can go look at that name after, whichever name it is that maybe you're unsure of. And that's how you start to create your little circle in your family. Yeah.
Yes. It's true for even outside of Hawaiian culture. You start off with what you know, your parents is the easiest, and your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be surprised when you start talking to relatives, how many of them might tell you stories that other people might not have told you. It's not because they kept it hidden. It's just their perspective on things and something that they remember. So all of these are valuable, especially when it comes to looking for documentation to help you go back further. And that's how you end up going back further.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So the next question would be, leading into this, is how can I gather information about my ancestors from our family members?
Mm.
Yeah. You can gather information through tablets, notepad.
Yeah.
But writing all the information down and trying to build on it. Names, dates. You can go online and just look for obituaries is another good way. To get information as well. That's a very good way, actually.
All of these can lead you to all these additional information. And then again, if you talk to your family, you'd be surprised. Some of them, they don't know like about these just because they don't talk about it, that doesn't mean that they don't know about it. So it's up to you to be active, proactive.
And start asking. Go down a rabbit hole too.
It's always the case. Always the case.
Down that rabbit hole. Or many of them.
I think like how Mapuana says obituaries, even if some people are like, oh my gosh, that's so morbid. No, that's one of the best ways to find genealogy, because sometimes they'll post the whole family genealogy. Sometimes they'll post names, like your grandmother's maiden name, and then you see all of her family. And so that's how you can write down too. When I do show like books like this, I've written notes in the corner, and then you got to draw circles to that person's name and everything. So it can get really complicated. I think when you do sit down, my husband's, just like this is an example, my husband's auntie is a Manaleo in Visayan. And my husband knows it more, but none of his cousins wrote it down. So whenever I would go visit her, I would bring this because I'm used to it doing for Hawaiian genealogy. And I would ask her, how do you say these words in Visayan? Because nobody used that. She was a Manaleo. Nobody used that. So I was the one writing it down. Not to say I'm going to use it, but just so that my children can understand. At least they can know, that this is another part of their history. And so write it down. I wrote her name, what day it was, when did we go visit, why did I want to write this? And then she opened up too, because then she's talking about her life history and everything. So with Hawaiian history and Hawaiian genealogy, there's so many names. Also, when we talk about names, just know that one person could have many different names. Mm-hmm. So don't just be like, oh no, but in my genealogy, no, it's this name. It might be, and you're correct. And then in Kalani's genealogy, it might be another name. So write down all the names that's associated with that person that you're talking about, because they did have more than one name. And you're going to come across that too when you're looking at marriages, children.
Let's talk about why they would have a different name. I think Kalani gave us some insight on why would they have different names. Why would a Hawaiian...
There could be all kinds of reasons. First of all, you only know me as Kalani Mandor. My classmates know me as another name. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to say what they mean. Yeah, because I had the English name, right? But this is my legal name today. Even same thing with my mom, same thing with everybody. But everybody has different reasons, either because, I don't know, a lot of my cousins, they have all these nicknames, which I find fascinating. Or I have some cousins, they have this long Hawaiian name, and then you only call them like this one part. It doesn't
matter. Oh, yeah.
That's always confusing too. Is why.
I was referring to the naming practices.
Oh. We're like, oh. You know, when I read about Keopolani, who is Kamehameha the Great, that's his most sacred wife, I heard that when you're reading history, an Oahu chief gave her that Keopolani name, but she was known by Kalani Kau'i Ka'alaneo. And that's was called before Yakalani. And then when this Oahu chief gives her the name Keopolani, then that name sticks. So I'm not too sure if it was like a coming of age thing or like what she did that preceded this, or if he saw her in her rank that he just said, look, you're Keopolani. Because I think Keopolani is like the gathering of the clouds in highest heavens or something like that. So that, like how Mapuana is saying, the naming is very intricate too. And I think if you look at Kiha of Pi'ilani, who is the son of Pi'ilani, the first of Maui, when he married his wife, he wanted to be hidden. And so they had a different name there too, because he didn't want anybody to know that he was Kiha Api'ilani. So I think like in those instances, and I know Hawaiians too, right there, when we're naming our children, we also have, if it's a couple name, right? You have, like how Kalani said, you're supposed to say, if it's a couple name, especially, you're supposed to say the whole name, not just a small part. But I think sometimes, yeah, the naming too, you have to protect your children too and everything right. Like that. Yeah. And then we have, if Mapuana, if you're going on naming, you have Mapo names, which are dream mm-hmm. names. Your tutu, right? If they want to name ancestor name.
Well, yeah, is the common name after an ancestor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then they go through experiences and then they carry another name. Or they change their name. Hawaii is very hard to follow as far as genealogy is. You can't just say that this is my ancestor's name and it's going to be my
ancestor. Right.
Jim is not going to be Jim 10 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Because they have experiences and changed their name, which makes it difficult to follow them. And if you don't know the olelo, it's hard to go. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
That's important to know the olelo, because there was no one back then saying, okay, you were born, okay, give me your full name, your first name, your middle name, the name of your father. They didn't have that. So this is why we have all these intricate names, and it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Without
And then you have that they changed because, for instance, I know of some Kalaupapa residents who have changed their name because of shame.
Mm-hmm.
Or the
That is a really big thing with Kalaupapa. And unfortunately, even I think the families that were left whatever island you were on, even they, when that child or that person was taken to Kalaupapa, they even erased them from the genealogy too. So then to go back now when the kids are like, but I thought Aunt Grandma had like 10 kids. You go, actually, she had 12, but two went to Kalaupapa. And so you're correct, Mapuana. Then that becomes a big thing because people are like, wait, what do you mean? Then it's like you're finding out about a long lost baby or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you have to add in the difficulty of the changing politically, Hawaii changing politically. And our record keeping really wasn't good at all. It makes it really hard to investigate a Native Hawaiian genealogy or to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Melting pot, it's not just Hawaiian. We're talking about plantation workers who had a hard time figuring out where their family came from, went to, all of that, because there was a language barrier that you couldn't write the correct how to spell something in Filipino because it was a haole who was taking a haole numerator or maybe even a Filipino taking a Hawaiian census.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Language
barrier. my Pocky guy that I come from, my Chinese ancestor, in the Oriental culture, the last name goes first. So his last name was Gu, and then there's that comma, and his first name was Aman. But when they were writing it, I didn't understand that it goes Gu, comma, Aman. And so they wrote his name as Guman. And so we're the only Gus that have Guman. And then they were like telling him, like, okay, what's your first name and everything. So that's how our name got changed, because it was just not understanding how that culture was. So it was supposed to be Gu, comma, right? And then his first name, Aman. But like how you said, Mapuana. So we now, through the generation. So my Guman cousins out there, like that's how our name got changed, because of writing and not understanding the culture too.
Yeah, true. I know there's people out there that's listening to us. And can each of you briefly go over what got you started and how long have you been doing this? Because I think it's very important that people know, especially when you're brand new. I know for myself, when I was brand new, I was just thrown into it. So let's start with Kalani.
Oh, brief.
Yeah.
Just interested in my culture and my Hawaiian side. That's as brief as I can get.
And how long have you been?
I started 1989. So what is, I don't know, more than 30 years.
And I started about 1996, yeah, to connect my Hawaiian lineage, basically solidify Hawaiian lineage.
Great.
I'm with all of them. It's just an interest in always point history, Hawaiian this, Hawaiian that, talking about things. And so our family always did that. And then at an early age, I just would just write my parents, myself, my siblings, and our grandparents. You just keep writing. Then you go to my mother's eldest sister and you just keep writing. So I think, like with Kalani Makuana, I've been doing this, I would say, that 30, 35 years. And just want to let you know, because we love it so much, it never, you don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my 50s now, and I'm still doing it. But I'm still doing it.
New to walk in, a new. Yep.
Still writing, still putting like the little look. I'm not joking. Look what I just.
I write.
Anyway, yeah. Look, you see all my crayon, my markers, because I need to visually see sometimes, right? When you're making connections to who or whatever. So that's just how I operate.
So, for the viewers out there, what are some beginner friendly resources or websites for genealogy research?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, so you collect your names or as much information as you can from your elders, and then you would go online. You can Google. You can just Google the name that you're looking for, and obituaries probably will pop up, or addresses and who they related to. You can start that way. You can go on Family Search. That's pretty. We have the newspaper chronicles, and we'll have the links that'll come out on the chat. Obituaries, National Archives records. Pre is a military, all military. If your ohana was in the military, you can look up what they did in the military or how long they were in the military, if they retired from the military. Fold 3 is a good military outlet. There's one that they have plantation workers, yeah? Clan. Like a plantation.
The plantation one for the Filipinos is at BYU, BYU website, the library website.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh!
Website, library, the BYU. Yeah.
It has, at least for the Filipinos that were contracted to work on the plantations. Some of that is on Ancestry, but of course, Ancestry, you have to have a member.
Lahaina Restoration Foundation is working on digitizing all those records that they have, at least to my knowledge. I'm not sure when they will be released, but I'm sure soon a lot of their archives will be released online. And every day there's stuff being uploaded, even on Ancestry. If you're looking mm-hmm. on Ancestry,
yeah.
You'll see one day it's not there and the next day it'll be there. So
constantly. So speaking of Ancestry, so a lot of the database does come from FamilySearch.org, which is run by the LDS Church. So if people want to actually get started, it's a free account, log on, create an account, and have at it, because it's you don't want to limit yourself to just one particular website. There's so many sites, you want to cross-reference and see what's what, because you're going to come across documents that are contradictory from the birth to the death. You basically want to just keep that and take your notes. We're not here to judge people. We're not here to say what is right or this and that. The whole point is to search your ancestors and search for your family, right? So you can share it for your to your family. And you can keep that going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I answer one question that we had in the chat from Connie about how the name change law affected the name that the Keiki took? I don't know. Like, I think you guys might know about this too. It's like when they were forced to take on a surname back in 1861, King Kamehameha the Fourth. King Kamehameha the Fourth. Not everybody was consistent with the surnames where the child had to take the father's name as a surname. Because back then they didn't have surnames. They just had one or two, whatever names they were using back then. So because of the inconsistency, sometimes you do have people taking different names, especially if they had multiple names for the father, or it was one, and then they only take parts of it.
Or you have 10 Johns in your family. So you
The other one, too, going back to that, I have an ancestor. He married, he has 4 sons. Same mother, same father, all sons carry a different last name. So it's like Kalani said, and even when you're looking, there's no, the last names that they took, it's not connected to the surname. Mm-hmm. It's not connected to, it's just each son has a different last name. And then that their lines all carried it, but they come from the same mom and same father. Mm-hmm. So you're going to run into that a lot too. And then you have to write down same mom, same dad, but this son took that this name and this son took that name too.
And then they even added Christian names, right? Like John, Paul.
Yeah, that was law where they had to take a Christian given name and then the father's name would be the surname.
By the time I was born in 67, that was done. And so my parents got to name myself, my brother and my sister. We have Hawaiian names first and then our middle names are English. By the time I was born, that law was Paul already, but before they had to follow that, like what you guys are saying, English name first, then a Hawaiian name, and then the third name.
That's interesting because I think, okay, so now you're going to out me. I was born the same year, but...
We look good, don't we?
But I was still given an English first name, but that was my mom's choice. And actually, all of my siblings, and then our Hawaiian names are our middle names, but I did a legal name change back in 89, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So we want to address that too. You know, with your names, if you are given an English name first, it doesn't make you less Hawaiian. It's like how Kalani is saying, it's the choice of your parents at the time. At the time that I was born, my parents chose to give us Hawaiian names. It has nothing to do with, oh, we don't like this. It's just they had that freedom to do that because the law before said that you couldn't do that. And so that's why. And then my parents chose to go that route. So we just want to let you know, please, if you do have your English name too, don't be like, oh my gosh, I have to be called by a Hawaiian name. Not necessarily. And if you do, then that's great. But we just want to let you know that's how it was for years for our ancestors, that it had to be an English name first and a Hawaiian name. And some of our Hawaiian ancestors, they only have English names. And some of them who are married Hawaiian Chinese, right? They have an English name first and a Chinese middle name and then a Hawaiian so some of our ancestors don't even have Hawaiian names, and that's okay. It's okay too.
That was the case with my mom, but a lot of my relatives, and especially my own siblings, we never use our first names. It was the name in school, the legal name, the government name, right?
That's what correct. Yeah,
the government name. But yeah, nobody would use that name. That's why only my classmates are allowed to use my government name. But they all know me as Kalani because I come from a small island, so everybody knew my name.
Connie, I hope that answers your question, Connie. If you have more questions, let us know.
That's a great question, too.
Yeah. So moving forward, what types of records should one look for to trace their family history?
Oh, marriage, obituaries, censuses,
divorce.
Oh, delayed birth certificates.
Hawaii has a delayed birth certificate. I actually have a couple in my family. 10 pages because they had to have somebody say, I know this guy. He Hawaiian. He used to live next to my mama. He had 10 kids. That's how they would prove that they were Hawaii born.
Hawaiian. Yeah.
Hawaii born. Not Hawaiian because Chinese get them too.
But for Hawaiian too, if you're trying to show
Hawaii is a certain time of year. It's years. I think it's like, I know in the 30s, it still was.
It was still going on. Yeah.
To clarify, these delayed birth certificates were the result of people not having a birth certificate, and then maybe they had to go to work and they had to prove who they were. They needed identification. So they had to go to, I forget where, was it the Hawaii State Vital Statistics? I'm not sure where. But they had to bring two witnesses who could confirm they are who they are. And that this whole interviewing process. And they usually asked, of course, the parents' name, if they had any siblings. The applicant, if they had any siblings, where they went to school, whether they left Hawaii, not just to confirm that it is this person that they claimed that they know.
And they have tattoos, or scars,
Those delayed records are great. I think it's just better than the birth certificates because you not only have pictures, you have dates, you have witnesses, and a lot of times they're family too. It's like a biography detail, and it's so special. And you can add it, open more doors for you to look at and search more of the family just in that one document alone.
Yes. You can also get your information from personal journals of your ancestors, diaries, letters they sent to other people. If you guys still have that in the family, pictures. Who's this? You got to ask the elders, who's this person in this picture?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Please write it down for you young ones too who are always taking pictures too. Write it down. Put it on the back, even now on your phone. But if you're going to print it, write it down who it is, where it's taken from, where they were at, what party was it. All of that is so important for the next generation and for other people too who are searching too.
Now that we're so digitized, we're not going to have these. Obituaries. Do you see the obituaries now? Like they just say they passed away.
It's basic. Yeah.
It's super basic. It doesn't say this was the brother, this was the sister. They had this many kids, lived in Waianae all their life, was a bowling expert or none of that. They don't tell a life anymore. Mm-hmm. Now they just put their name and dates. So all these obituaries are so important because they have so much information. Or delayed birth certificates, it tells a story. Journals will tell a story. This is what my grandmother was doing on this date. Oh, and she met with so-and-so. Oh, they must have been friends. Or they must have been related somehow if she keeps.
Right.
So everything tells a story. And with the internet, we are not always going to have those stories.
Pictures. That's true. We might not have the actual stories, but especially in this day of the digital age, there is one thing that is useful, social media. Of course, it makes the work of a genealogist much more challenging because you have to figure
out.
It's like when you're trying to connect the family, like, I think this is the relative. And sometimes you can see it on social media, like how they might be related. And if you're lucky, if anything, you can always contact the person. That's the good thing about social media. You can just contact them directly and find out how are they related.
I've done that many times, and that's another thing. Don't be ashamed to go into the message box and say, hey, are you related to, is your great grandparents so? And I've done that many times, and I've had, remember like how I talked about my ghoul ancestor? I've had ghouls tell me, no, we're not related, but they live in the same district that my ghoul was in. So either they're so removed from it, or they just don't know themselves. Or maybe they're like, I don't know about him. Yeah.
Probates are excellent. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Probates.
Probates are excellent source information.
That is the Bureau of Conveyance, for like probates and everything. Yeah, they're good to go to.
Talks about who and what lived on that.
Yeah. And if you have family with land too, it shows a land deed, right? Who they sold it to. And sometimes it is like how Mapuan and Kalani and Jeff are saying, like, if they're related, are they a friend? And then that's how you can find out too, like how we're all telling everybody more family. Or who is this person if you've never heard of that person?
I think with probate records, a lot of people I was one of those who was just afraid to use them because it's like, how is it going to be useful for me? But even outside the Hawaiian culture, people use probate records for those exact reasons when you establish a relationship between certain amount of people or certain people. Basically.
Yeah.
It lists all these people related to the person who is now, they have all this property, etc.
Okay, yeah.
So, speaking of that, on the records, how does one start or create and organize their family tree?
Oh,
as a beginner.
There you go, right there. Wait, yeah. So like how she's showing, this is the first thing because you can keep them and binders and sheet protectors.
Okay.
And binders and sheet protectors.
Yeah, that's
another. I started off that way too. Of course, yeah. Digital age now, you can always get genealogy software as well. There's free ones. Oh.
This is my first one that I did and it has.
Yeah, see? Oh, that's still me. Hold on, I have to move up to your level. Next.
But actually, I did that before, but I did it with my typewriter.
Oh,
typewriter.
I did the lines, yes, with the typewriter.
So speaking of those, so that binder that you showed us, Mapuana, so what tools or the software are helpful for documenting and managing that genealogy research?
This one in particular, what tools did I use? My computer. I printed out all the, too bad I didn't put this on the computer. All the records that I found, this is a passenger, and then...
And see how she highlighted it, too? Highlighted, so you can see it.
The names and the census.
Census. Okay. Census are great.
As far as this, these charts alone, it's just my computer. I printed out names. I pasted onto this.
Okay.
Do you folks use a specific type of database management system?
Maybe Kalani can.
So I use one specific for my Mac, Reunion. And there's good ones. A popular one is Family Tree Maker.
Oh, that's right. Legacy, I'm going to be running this song too.
I believe is another one. And in Roots, oh my gosh, I downloaded this, but I don't even use it. I forgot what it's called, sorry. But those are the popular one is Family Tree Maker and Legacy.
I have Family Tree Maker. Yeah, I use that.
But with these graphical charts, there's a lucidcharts.com, which I use. I subscribe to it. There's Scapel. I also use like PowerPoint and Keynote to do all these graphical charts because I can throw in images, people's pictures, as well as the names.
Nice.
Web or even Ancestry has a, you can do your chart on there too as well. So
it's easier to see graphically. That's why I did it on the typewriter back in the day.
Yeah, a wall for that. I'm just letting you know. For a little old school here.
Need more wall space. Yeah.
So this next question is a little.
And then you start doing scrolls.
Manual.
Yes.
I did that before too.
Yes.
And rows.
I think it's always good to do the manual. You can make it like a big chart thingy.
Yes.
And lay it out.
I think people understand it more if you have it printed out.
Actually. You're right. Because they can see it right there. It's just right there. And you unscroll the scroll and then they can see how the different generations to connect and everything.
Mm. So the next question is, how can I determine if my family has any notable or famous ancestors?
Don't you have famous ancestors, Kalani? Are you talking about purple blood type of stuff or just like famous in general, like an actor or?
It can be like, for us in Hawaii, I think a lot of times when we think of famous, I know we think of like the actors of today, but I think for us, it's more like, was our family like of the E line? Were they part of the stuff like that? That's what I think. But then you guys might have a different take on that.
For me, it's just a matter of just researching as far back as you can. Yeah. And then I was lucky when I started to look into the newspapers, especially the Hawaiian newspapers. That's when I found out my ancestor was, my Haole ancestor actually, was the governor of Oahu. And there's a reason why his children, his grandchildren especially, had these large lands because of who he was. And this is all by chance. I didn't know that my great-grandfather was a captain of the police, all because I was just looking through newspapers. So the newspapers are actually very valuable. Finding out your ancestors.
Rabbit holes in order to get your answer. Mm-hmm. You have to ask questions to other people who have already investigated lines associated to your line. Or here's a, for instance, my family is Kapi'iho. And as far as I went back, they were in Wanai. And some people say he's Kapi'o Kalani, and I have no way of proving that. I have no way of proving that, which that would be connected to the Maui chiefs. So no, I don't claim that because I have not found that line yet. I have not found my family prior to 1847.
I think as like how Jeff said, it is correct. If you're asking like noble houses and everything, this is just me saying it. This is my opinion. Just remember when you're doing research, our history does not start with Kamehameha I. He is a great addition to our lines, and there's a reason why. But we just want to let you know that there's other chiefs. There's Ma'i Kukahi from Oahu. There's Pi'ilani of Maui. There's Kahelelani for Ni'ihau. Mano Kalani Po for Kauai. And then there's other chiefs too. Moikeha is a Kauai chief. And a lot of people are like, oh, but he's from Tahiti. Ai, Pololei. Yes, correct. But he also came to Hawaii too, married and had his children too. If you are looking and you do find that you are from one of these families, by all means, be proud. Also, do not forget about your commoner ancestors because they
support
us too. Yes. And be proud of them too. One of the greatest stories I can tell you about that is Umi Aliloa. Everybody I think is related to Umi because Umi was married to everybody. But Umi's mother, she had Ali'i blood in her. But by the time her people were married, they were marrying commoners. By the time it came to Umi's mother, she's considered a commoner. His father, Liloa, is such a high chief. When Umi marries and has all these children, which is all of us here, Umi, compared to his brother, was of the top line because he's from his parents, which is Liloa and Pinea, and they're both high ranking, and Umi is not. But Umi becomes a better chief, and Umi, after Hakau is killed, becomes a great chief throughout our history. So just want to say, don't forget about our commoners too. They're the ones who kept the Ali'i alive too.
And
Maka'ainana, ai, polole. And look at all the great things that they do. They're the bird catchers. They're the people who make the pena. They're the ones who know how to dig the trenches down where Mapuana lives. Down you go to Waianae Valley, you see all the lo'i. When it goes up the mountains, it's unreal. They're mine. Our people are just so awesome. But I'm just saying, if you do connect to any family, just be very proud. There is a little note too that says, only when you have come to a point where people are slandering your ancestors, do you say, this is where I come from. So our ancestors always taught us to be very humble because there's also somebody who's always higher. So if I'm over there going, oh, I come from so on, Jeff could just be like, okay, but this is my ancestry. And when you look at his ancestry, you go, oh my gosh. So that's why we want everybody to just be very humble and to aloha everybody. When you do hear people say, I come from this house, you go, oh my God, that's great. That's great. And then just keep doing your thing. Just keep doing your thing and getting your ancestors recognized.
I think it's important. So speaking of our ancestors, there are resources out there. There are specific books, and I know you folks have them. Do you folks want to go over some of the books that are important, like John Papa'i'i and David Malo, that I think everybody who wants to do genealogy should invest in those books?
Oh, yeah.
Any book by John Papa'i'i, like Jeff said, get it. He was there. He was a playmate to Kamehameha II. And so he was around at a time when we still had so many, not laws and everything, but more protocols that you have to do, things that Kamehameha said that maybe people misunderstood as the years have passed down. Coins at that time, where we still had our pili houses. We're not living in the houses that we have now. Malo, you were malo. You did all these things. You make your own raincoat, your upena. So I think like how everybody is saying, look at all of these things. But what was I saying now?
The books.
Malo, John Papa'i'i, Ruling Chiefs is also a great one in my opinion. And David Malo and Sam Kamakau are just so great. They're such great information. Those three, John Papa'i'i, David Malo, and Samuel Kamakau. The one that's also that everybody, Auntie Edith's book, Auntie Edith McKenzie, her genealogy books, the one that it's out of print and it's going for like, I think it's so much money. Everybody's trying to get volume one and volume two. So I know those books are really important to have.
Kalani?
Yeah, I was already mentioning. So Samuel Kamakau, because of he was educated, I believe, at Lahaina Luna.
Yep.
So he has a lot of good oral history. His stuff was actually printed in the newspapers, which transferred into the books that we have today. Baba Yu is good. David Malo. Also, Abraham Fornet, he has a lot of stories.
Oh, yeah.
He was married to a chiefess from Molokai. And yes, he got a lot of the genealogies as well and his stories from her.
Finding I forgot her name. Fraser. Finding a Fraser. Fraser. That one is good too.
Oh, what which is, one what, is that one?
Finding Aid.
Oh, Finding Aid. Let me write that down.
Oh. I think that was a question for you.
Oh, there's a question? Let's look.
There was a question. Yeah.
Oh, hoi.
Oh, Keely, you.
So this is art. Ohana to me, she comes from Kekuhaupi'o lineage. And so she's asking which website is to go. I think all the websites we said, cousin, it goes on. Your guys' genealogy is notated too in a lot of the Mormon church and everything. So that's where you can go to get all of that. So she's a direct descendant of Kekuhaupi'o. For those of you who don't know, Kekuhaupi'o was the warrior who trained Kamehameha and trained him in all types of war. And thinking, like they played Konaniala, just Kamehameha, you need to think also. So Kekuhaupi'o, that's who Sam comes from. That's her lineage. Yeah, cousin, a lot of what Jeff Dem said, the Mormon church, get the documents from the newspapers and everything. And there's also that book, Kamehameha and Kekuhaupi'o. And that's another great book too for you, cousin. Oh, I'm so glad you're on listening. Mwah, love you.
Oh, so the next question is probably going to be Kalani, because this one is, how can DNA testing assist in my genealogy journey?
Should I get the M&Ms now?
DNA is actually pretty useful as far as confirming a relationship, but it cannot tell you what the relationship is without additional information. So that's important. You cannot just have the DNA say, okay, this is whatever you want. You need additional information of that person that you tested and who you're comparing it to.
For instance, me and Jeff relate through DNA. How is that? I'm not sure yet. We haven't found it yet.
That's a whole new different podcast.
Yeah, if you guys have access to Ancestry, they have all these matches with people. And I'm like, how am I related to, especially from New Zealand, right? So I have no idea. I don't know. Because it's just so far, maybe far back or far beyond kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I know DNA is important nowadays. And I know Kalani is an expert because he posts all that on his Facebook. So.
Mm-hmm. I guess I should have explained. In my case, my mom was adopted. And then I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. But once I found the closest relatives, two different relatives. One wasn't so close. The other one was really close. But I still needed additional information to confirm how my mom was related to them. But that takes real genealogy research, actually. So the DNA can only point you in one way, but you still need additional information to tell you how you guys are actually related. Oh, see, Jane Cope is saying
she's related to three of us.
Yeah, we should all be related, by the way, genetically.
All of us are related, right? In one way or another, we relate to each other.
Mapuana, Akila, you guys have anything to add to that on the DNA side?
Oh, no, that's all Kalani.
Yeah, that's all Kalani.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, me too. That's like an area that I'm not really proficient in. So Kalani is obviously the expert.
It is intimidating. And it's not only is intimidating, but nowadays we have so much more tools that help people and it's hard to keep up, actually. I need more information about the fourth Jane Cope was saying.
Who's the fourth?
Wait, who did she say then? The three, four,
yes,
all of us, yeah.
Yeah, it should be all of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless, maybe Makuana, maybe because she doesn't know the name that you went by in your DNA test. I don't know.
Oh.
So, to keep it going, what are some common challenges or obstacles encountered when researching genealogy, and how can I overcome them?
Mm. Oh, burnt document. Burnt places, maybe. Translating record. Even in family search, the person doing the translation It's not necessarily doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lack of history. Context. Mm-hmm. Historical context. Sometimes history plays a big part in researching your ancestors, because if you don't know what's going on around them, mm-hmm. it just explains why they did certain things or went mm-hmm. about things in a certain way. So you gotta mm-hmm. know what was going on, or even religiously what was going on around them, because mm-hmm. it's a lot. It explains why, especially in Hawaii, because we went through so many different changes so quickly, and mm-hmm. people just went north, south, east, west, and now majority of our Hawaiians are on the continent, right?
Mm-hmm.
To follow their path, to follow their shoes, you have to know the history. Layering, that's another one. Data layering. Or
explain that, Mapuana. Data layering.
People altering.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
When you get something and you thought it was this, so you changed it to that, and then you post it on here, and then it goes over there, and then data layering. And then you have, I'm going to call it eventus interruptus. When you had something that happened in your family, sometimes you have an elder person in your family who took advantage of a younger
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and there was a child that was the result of it, or delicate matters, I guess you can call it. Also, poorly kept records. We are known for our poorly kept records in Hawaii. Yeah, when the missionaries came, they started record keeping. It wasn't always correct. Or the Hawaiians never even know the date, type of date that the Haoles kept, if that made any sense. Oh, I was born about the year.
Yeah, they would use like the year that this king passed or something like that.
See,
yeah.
They just round it. So dates are always off, names are always off. You gotta really fish and see the people that surround them and to make their match. To say, oh yeah, that's them, because these names are the same, or they're in the same area with these names. Really difficult for Hawaii to trace their lineage, especially if you don't know Ko'olelo. It only goes so far.
Speaking of Ko'olelo, I think it's really important for the viewers to understand that if you're doing your genealogy, you should really learn Ko'olelo Makuahine, our mother language.
Aye.
Because everything is in Ko'olelo. And if you do not understand, you will not know what to put down. So I think it's like, for me, Kalani and myself right now, I know we're in Ko'olelo classes. We have certain ones, we take courses and stuff. But at the same time, I know for you three, doing it for as long as you've been doing it, even if you don't speak the language fluently, I know that you folks, when you're looking at records and documents, you understand what they are now. Because back then, I didn't. Yeah. So I think it's important. Yeah.
Years of looking at probate, that's, you picked that word out. Oh, yeah, I know what that means. But I still go about it that way. But really, our Hawaiians chanted our lineage. So it wasn't really written. If you don't learn the Ko'olelo and learn the chants, you can't further your genealogy, because you're going to have to understand it, right? It depends on how far you want to go. I'm suffice with where I'm at right now. I would love to go further, but I have issues blocking. My family was sent to Kalaupapa, so there wasn't very much records during those times, and the lack of records puts me in a standstill, basically.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of that, what should one do if you hit a dead end in your research?
I started helping others. I helped Ka'awano Kalaupapa. Helping others, I thought to myself, maybe I will come across that record. Or that may not be your answer. Other people can just, you can keep searching, find a different avenue, find a different relative mm-hmm. to go around.
Yeah.
If he had a brother, then you can use that brother and try to follow his path, and maybe you'll find granted your grandfather or whatever. There's a lot of research.
I think on that note too, if you do hit a dead end, I hit many dead ends, and sometimes you just keep hitting a wall, and it can get really frustrating. You try let's try this name, and nothing pops up. Sometimes you just have to put it away for a day or two, regroup, and then go after it again. I had one, yeah, because sometimes you're just like, this is so frustrating, and I'm so close. I've been at that so close for a lot of time, and I just couldn't get past it. And sometimes it is frustrating, but just be ho'omanawu nui, just be really patient and go forth, because our ancestors are also, they also need us to find them so that we can finish their work too. I wanted to go. I wanted to go back to what Jeff and Wapona were saying. When you do have secrets in your family, sometimes, I guess how we are now, us four right now, if somebody was to tell us a secret, we're not going to be like, oh my gosh, like how Mapona said, if somebody took advantage of somebody, oh my gosh, I'm never going to talk to them again. I think what we do is you just take down the information, understand it. That's it was a different time. And I know now we have that Me Too movement and a lot of people saying, oh no, this, no, you have to understand when Hawaiians too, it's a different time. It's just very different. And you cannot bring that too. I also wanted to bring up Christianity too. Even if you're Christian, I had a cousin who could not believe that this certain ancestor that we have had more than one family. And we're like, oh yeah, yes, that's how it was. But what I'm saying is, as we know Christians now, we're monogamous. If you are Christian. And so if you find out that your ancestor had a family, like say in Kahuku, but had another family in Waianae, that's what happened too. And so don't judge them either, because whatever the circumstances or whatever, that's just what happened. And then that's why we're all here too. So just to go off what they're saying. That's
how we're related too.
And that's true.
So I want to add to that, because you brought up a good point about Christianity and religion. So I want the viewers to understand that our people were spiritual. Mm-hmm. They were very in tune with everything that's around them. They've been doing that for thousands of years before the missionaries came. I know, like, for me personally, I was on a journey where I was conflicted of how I was raised. We went to church, right? Where I'm from, the temple is in La'ia, right? That's where I'm from. My family's from. However, we were always taught that our culture is probably even more important than a religion. I found myself basically spirituality, whatever you want to believe in. In Olelo, we say Kelkua, right? When I attended the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Convention in June here in Vegas last June, that's where I met Moana. And I took the Mo'okuaha session, and it was ran by Puka Asing. When I was on my journey doing our research, like we always do, is our family history, our genealogy, I came across the name Io, or E, the Supreme, Ilalo Ole, the Supreme without branches. And if people don't understand, and it took me back because I asked that question and everybody just was shocked, but I think that our ancestors, they're here. Like for us, it's not just a person that died. It's not just they had a birthday and a death day. No. I go, when you say their name, when you say your tutu's name, they live again. They never die. Totally. They are out. They're always with you. So I believe in prayer and pule and all that too. And there's protocols of how we're doing things. So I think it's important for the viewers to understand that you need to shift your mind to how it was back then, because how it is now was not how it was back then.
Aye, pole. Yes. And then like how you're saying the naming part, when you call, when you're calling, even when you name your children, and if you name them after that ancestor, Jeff is right, they get to live again because they're living through that child. And it's a beautiful thing too, when you get to call your tutu's name and you get to say this ancestor's name, and even like how Jeff and Mapuana and Kalani say, even if we don't know them, but the fact that we all come from them, then you get to say, and then they get to live in this moment because they lived and walked the earth too. And yeah, I agree. And Christianity it's a big issue too, with people saying, how do you bridge the two? And it is hard, because Hawaiian is very different than Christianity. But I agree with Jeff, spirituality first, and our people first, our families first, our culture first. And of course, I may take a hit with people going, oh my gosh, that shouldn't be. It should be God first. But I think when you're looking, it's just very different in how we think, how we look at things, how we understand things. And that's just my mana'o of this too. Go ahead, Makawana. I was like, go ahead, Tita.
I think we have one more question.
Oh, okay.
How would you find out if they're Hanai or Black? Oh my gosh, this is the hard one.
That's you, Kalani.
the case for me. Actually, there was a case for me because, so when I started doing genealogies, because I was curious about my mom, because I wasn't raised by my Hawaiian mother. She was very reluctant to give information, but I was determined. I found out from her relative, Auntie Eloise, didn't know how she was an auntie to us, but she was trying to give me family information on the family, Kawabehe family. But long story short, so that family was my grandmother's stepfather's side. But had I not researched that her stepfather's side, I wouldn't have known who actually hanai'd my grandmother. I found out easily thanks to the delayed birth certificate, the whole, what is it called? Application delayed birth certificate, that who my grandmother's biological family was. And so I got to research three lines, her stepfather's side, her hanai side, and in her biological side. And then came 2014 when my mom said, oh, I already know I was adopted. When I started to get into DNA, I was like, oops, there went all my genealogy research from 1989. So, and then I found her biological side. So,
by blood,
by blood, you can tell.
I was telling Kalani Mapuana story earlier. My grandmother is from pure Hawaiian lady and an Irish, pure Irish father. She was hanai to her first cousin, but because of the age difference, she would have called her auntie. So she was hanai to her auntie. And when she was hanai there, she was the baby of 16 children, and she was hanai there. And hanai, usually you know who the parents are. It's open because Hawaiians, we did hanai. This was part of our culture, the chiefs fostering good fellowship within each other, if they could give their child to another chief to raise and everything like that. And my grandmother found out that she was hanai by coming to Oahu to visit her biological mother. And she just came in and she was just like, hey, mom. And that her mother at that time was feeling nostalgic or something. And she told her, I'm not your mom. I'm not your auntie. I'm your mother. And that made her hanai mom, which is her mother, right? Because her mother is raising her, come in and they were talking Hawaiian because they're mana leos. And my grandmother was a mana leo because they lived in Puna on Hawaii. And I guess in Puna, as long as they took the census, that was fine. You could talk Hawaiian or whatever. They're just doing the census.
Can you tell the audience what mana leo is?
Oh, mana leo is a native speaker. Sorry, kalamai, sorry. A mana leo, native speaker, Hawaiians, mana leo. And so they were talking. And my other tutu took my grandmother back to Puna because they got into that fight. So when we do our genealogy, I always put my grandmother, her biological parents, because without her biological parents, she wouldn't be here. Right next to that, I put her hanai parents because that's awesome. Right there. Yeah, and Hawaiians, we have a word for that. Everybody ready? Aye, polole. And so when you are researching, then you come to... Like Kamehameha I is a great example. Some people don't believe it, but Kahikili is his father, and then Keoua was his father too. So you should put the two genealogies next to each other so that you can see. You put Kamehameha here, you put Kahikili, Keoua, and then you can write their parents so you can see who is who and how they connect and everything.
I think for Anthony's question, like, how would you find out? I found out by chance. I don't know.
Stories too.
Blood tests.
Yes.
Or just digging and pressing the ancestors.
No, my grandmother, thinking her mother was her real mother, finds out when her real mother blurts it out.
It's just
right. By saying, I'm not your auntie, I'm your mother. So that's another story that you're going, oh my gosh, I thought this was my mother kind of thing. Yeah. So that
if you go back further, I think that's where you're going to have a problem. But then that's when you have problems with finding documentation. That's when you get all your obstacles, your roadblock, your brick walls, whatever you call it.
That I had thought that messed around on his family and had these children, but come to find out it was his brother's kids that he had hanai. And through newspaper articles, I found that was actually his children, not his mishap. He just took one for the team.
And then also, I don't know how everybody else feels when it comes to hanai too. We don't look at them like, oh, that's somebody else. We just look at them like, that's our family. And so my hanai great-grandmother, her name is Eunice. My grandmother is named after her mother. And so when we look at her, we don't just go, oh, that's the Hanai mom. But sometimes if I'm trying to tell a story, I say it really fast, right? Oh, Hanai mom and biological mom. But I think we just look at them like, that's my great-grandmother. This is also my great-grandmother. And so when people go, oh, how come you were always, how come it, you don't just say the biological mother? Because there's a bigger picture to it, right? With being raised, who raised you, who did all the work and who gave birth to you and everything. Oh, look, there's my cousin, Lehulu. Hui, cousin.
It's a great comment because, yeah, that when you start researching all these collateral lines, that's how you end up finding out about this. Mm-hmm. And that was the case with my mom. I was looking at her mother's stepfather's side, which led me to the Hanai side.
So going off of that, how can one connect with other genealogy enthusiasts or researchers for support and collaboration?
The Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society.
Yay!
I was thinking of that too.
Come on. We have to mahalo.
I don't.
Hui, wait, Dean. Mahalo, Dean. Mahalo to Dean.
Honey, he's a cited authority on royal and chiefly lineages.
Yes.
Going on 15 years with Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society is our founder, along with, was it Robert?
Manu.
Manu Gay, and then Lenneth Lorenzo too.
Oh, Lenneth. That's right.
Lenneth, yeah. And then, you know, Dean, our founder for Native Hawaiian, yeah, GSOC, it's his grandfather, right? Is Uncle Solomon, the famous genealogist, yeah, too. Yeah. When you, like how Mapuana and Jeff and Kalani are saying, when he founded this, it's not like he's just founding something. His lineage is such a great lineage because his grandfather, they were just genealogists that the chiefs used, and the chiefs use them, and for the genealogy they were the ones who knew everything. And I know that there are other families too who have it in their ohana too, but I because we were just talking about Dean.
So Dean's, I believe it's his great grandfather was Talon Peliuholani.
He was a
master genealogist, and I believe his great granddaughter translated one of the documents that said where we came from as a people. Everyone think we came from Tahiti, and that is not correct. That people came after, we were already in the islands. And if you read that document from the translation, it says that we came from the north through Alaska.
Yeah. I heard about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I gotta go read that document.
So if you guys want to read, Chan, it's called Ho'okumukalani and Kumukahonua. Yeah. So we have it, but that's for a different discussion.
Next one.
Also, I think the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society, there are other sources and resources out there for people to get involved with. Mapuana mentioned Kalaupapa. I am also a member of Kalaupapa because we have some of our tutus who were taken there that we didn't even know. We want to go there and find their grave, even though I don't know exactly where, but I know they're still there. And I have met Valerie Munson, which you probably already know her. And Anwe, I believe her name is. Anwe. Yeah, so I have all the books too over the years. So if any viewers have people, family that went there.
That's yeah. Contact Kauhano Kalaupapa. We are collecting names of residents. We have a lot.
Yep.
We are trying to do a monument, or they are trying.
Do you know when that's going to happen? I know they're raising money and all that.
Yeah, they're raising fundraising right now. So, yay!
And like for the younger kids who may not understand, Kalaupapa is such a big dent too in our history, and I mean it in a way that when our people were taken to Kalaupapa, the ships were supposed to dock and let them out, and they didn't. They docked in the ocean. They had to swim to Kalaupapa, and that certain place where they docked, that's where a lot of Hawaiians died too, because the waves were coming and crashing on the waves. It's just a really horrific story, what they had to go through, while how they were taken from their homes. They were just snatched away and just taken, and sometimes not even given a chance to say goodbye. And I think that's why when they were taken to Kalaupapa, the families that were left, that's why they erased them too from their genealogy. And it's such a big eha for all of us when you hear about it and you see how they were treated. And babies, when women gave birth on Kalaupapa, the babies were taken away and a night out, and the mother didn't have any recourse to find her child or to keep her child. And we understand about Lepanton's disease and how bad it was, but at the same time, for what it did to our people, And just the breakthrough now that we can, like how Jeff said, he didn't know we had tutus. I didn't know that I had tutus over there too. And I think now when we find it's okay to say, I have family at Kalaupapa, before nobody even wanted to acknowledge that their family even had any ties to Kalaupapa because it was so shameful. And I think now doing this, when we do this, that we can give them, give those ancestors, we can aloha them too because of what they had to go through there. Yeah. Why Kalani too, you Molokai too, you know how Molokai has that big history there too, right? And just to understand too about Kalaupapa and everything, right? And how eha means, how it just hurts right here. That eha, that soreness and heaviness when you hear about what they have to go through.
That was meant during the separation. A lot of children went to Oahu and they would put in the paper, hey, this child is going to be Kalaupapa, claim it. This is your child, claim it. If this is your relative, claim them, or we're going to put them in the orphanage. And then the orphanages got full. And then they were just like trying to find houses for these, because they couldn't feed them. They couldn't, it's just hard to find where you actually stem from when they go to the orphanages.
So we're hitting our the end of our podcast. So I want each of you in closing, if you want to just leave a brief mana'o or one last thing before we close. I know it's already been over an hour, but we'll have another session coming up in May. But if Kalani, you want to start?
I think most importantly is to talk to your ohana to get more information.
Start there. Get more information. Go onto the internet. Look for your ohana.
Mm-hmm.
Connect, make connections. Check out the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society. We share our stories. Maybe somebody in that group, we have nearing 15,000 members. Someone has heard a story or two about your ancestor. Ask. Mm-hmm. It'll be good to connect. Yeah, you can go on the computer and find your family.
So the big thing too with genealogy too, our ancestors all knew who was related, how they were related. As our families got bigger and as they became more Americanized, things started to change a lot. And now the families, some of them don't know each other. Like everybody, the four of us here, talk to the elders. The elders sometimes too, they watch you too. If you're only going to ask one time, they may not spill the whole thing because if they're saying that you're not really taking, you just, oh, who's my ancestor, that kind of attitude, then you have to be careful too. Talk to them, sit down. Write everything, even though we're laughing and everything, I'm not joking, these are great to have. And then to see, it's these are great. Just keep writing. Look at everything. Yeah, I think that's the first step is writing everything down and talking to your ohana. And talk to your ohana first. Please don't go outside and say, oh, Auntie so-and-so said our grandfather is this. You talk to your kupuna because they know. Yeah.
If for the viewers out there, if you folks have grandparents and great grandparents living, talk to them now.
When we were
growing up, a lot of us, we couldn't be around the old folks because that's just how it was. But when we got older and we started on our journey on our family Okuauhau, you have to be ni'ele. You have to be ma'oi in a little bit, because if you don't, they're not going to just come in and tell you. And they're watching what Ki'ile said. They're watching you because they're probably looking for that one family member who's basically going to carry the torch.
Aye, pololei.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, we're going to have a part two session, everybody, next week. Same time. If you all want to come back, we're going to have a whole set of questions for our viewers. Anyway, we want to thank everybody. We want to thank the Moana Nui podcast, Papa Ololokahi. I want to thank Ki'ile, Mapuana, and Kalani. And if people want more information, hit us up. We're all part of the Native Hawaiian Genealogy Society on Facebook, if you want to Google that. So until next time, ahui ho, aloha.
Aloha. So many stories left to tell. Even if we have to ourselves, can't keep history on the shelf. If they won't tell it, we will.
If this the land free, it was a freedom then. When they annexed Hawaii and called it Cedar Lands, without any type of payment and no signing off, called themselves the Republic in 1894. 1.2 million acres overtaken from the native Hawaiians. When they resisted, the West retaliated in violence and erasure. The Hawaiian language is banned as part of colonialism's plan to expand. Yeah.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave. As a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. No work out for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't, we will, we will.
So if we put Hawaii in a perspective, well, Black and Asian history is interconnected. Considering the fight with the Pacific, then of course for Asia, they was treated as a middleman for war, but didn't let the Western colorism run its course. Cause dark skin was a sign of dignity to core. The land was taken in the name of capitalism, when prior to it was an actual kingdom. Clap back at the system.
Stuck between a rock and a hard place, multiple bombings of Koholave. As a part of their ongoing war with Asia, used it as a place for target practice. No consent or compensation, colonizers call for annexation. Never work out for all the locals, school will never let you know. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. So many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will. Too many stories left to tell, even if we have to ourselves. Can't keep history on the shelf, if we won't tell it, we will.